Marvel Champions Monthly, a monthly podcast, or now bi-monthly podcast, about Marvel Champions the Card Game by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm one of the hosts here, Kennedy Hawk. I have all three extra co-hosts with me today. So we have Crimson. How's it going, Crimson?
Hey, what's up? Everything's good here.
Everything's good. You're surviving. You're 6 feet away from everyone else, so that's great.
Prima. Haven't left my house in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, me either. I was telling my coworker I haven't put on anything but gym shorts in a month. It's been great. Lester, how's it going up there?
Pretenders assemble. I'm doing pretty good up here. It is what it is.
And we have Americano again. How's it going?
Good. Just enjoying the nice weather where I'm at.
Nice weather. It snowed here this week. I don't understand. I know it snows in the Midwest, but it shouldn't snow here. So.
Yeah. It snowed yesterday here. I'm like, really? In April? We got almost a foot of snow? And then it was gone today.
Gross.
That's just me sending you guys my love.
Well, we're starting our new bi-weekly segments. So instead of doing an hour and a half podcast once a month, we'll be doing like an hour-ish long one once a month. So today's topic is all about Black Widow, which is out in some countries, but not in the US. Has anybody had the chance to play with Black Widow yet?
I have on tabletop, which I'm in the US, so it's the only option I have right now.
Well, we'll talk about what aspect you liked later. I played on tabletop as well. I ordered one from Australia, but it didn't get here yet. So it should be here this week, though, so I'm excited.
I've only played a couple games with the pre-built, the prefab deck on tabletop. So
I haven't played at all, just with the ally.
Hey, she's a good card too, right?
I'm still trying to figure out her use.
Well, we'll get to Black Widow later. We got a couple segments. We're going to do a deck garage where Crimson's going to build a deck, and we will heckle him about it. We're going to talk a little bit about Black Widow lore and recap some of the cards. We covered her previously, so our lore won't focus solely on Black Widow, and we won't linger on all of her cards, but we'll talk about our favorite cards that we've seen in her pack and maybe our least favorite cards. But how's everybody been doing? Everybody been playing a lot of Marvel Champions in isolation? Have you gotten any games in Americano?
Seems like this is the only game I've been playing, but it's easy to my main gaming partner is my wife, so being in quarantine, we're able to play this quite a bit actually. So that's been nice.
And we played a couple games, a couple two player games. None of them went particularly well, but they were fun, so that's good.
Yeah, I have not played a lot of games. I've been stuck on playing Conan Exiles just because I love survival games. And that's taken a lot of my time.
Absorbing it all, I understand. I played in that side scheme draft, and I went 2-2. I felt pretty good. I drafted Black Panther Aggression, and you had to play against... It was three games that were Heroic 1 or 2, and one that was Mutagen Formula Expert Mode with some specific modular set. And I won against Mutagen Formula and Wrecking Crew, and then I lost against Claw Heroic 1 and Ultron Heroic 2. Ultron Heroic 2 wasn't even funny. It was just like he schemed through the first two phases in the first two turns, and then it was just over. But
wow.
Heroic is brutal. We'll cover that in a future week, but this week we're going to talk all about Black Widow. So movie postponed. Cards postponed, but not completely. They're out in some countries and hopefully out right now in the US. It says coming out in June. So we're a little bit early. A week ago, it was out in May. So who knows if it'll slip again. But our first segment.
All of your projects have just been approved and funded.
We're going to jump right to it. Tony Stark's Deck Garage. So Crimson, I'm assuming we're going to build with Black Widow since that's the topic of the issue, but what aspect are we using?
Now, I know all of you guys are expecting Justice.
Leadership.
In fact, my first deck with Black Widow was Justice, and she's pretty good at Justice. But she's got a couple cards in her kit that made me think Protection, which is super abnormal for Black Widow because she also has some of the lowest hit points of any character with a whopping 9 hit points.
I like what I'm hearing so far, Crimson.
I'm shocked and disgusted. Green cards are gross.
But yeah, I've decided to go with protection. I've played this deck a couple times. It has really been good in the multiplayer aspect. I have not played it single player, and I don't know if I'd want to play it single player. So to start off with her in general, just as a recap, alter ego form, when you play a preparation card the first time a turn, you draw a card. She's a 2/2/2. After a preparation card triggers, you deal damage to an enemy. So obviously she's got a lot of preparation cards in her kit. She's got some thwarty bits, but not a lot, but she is a 2/2/2. So that really gives her, like Black Panther, gives her a lot of versatility that you don't see in some of the other heroes. So for, I'm going to skip over the Black Widow cards because we're going to talk about those later. In the protection aspect, I only went with one ally, which was the Iron Fist ally. I'm very hip on the Iron Fist. I like the fact that he can stun enemies and deal damage to them. I think he's a very good 4-cost ally. And he gives a little bit of utility. So this, with that stun, it allows you to, you know, not worry about defense as much. Or when you can't take a hit.
And what pack is he in? Is he in Black Widow's pack, or is he in... He's in Doctor Strange, I think?
He's in Doctor Strange's pack.
Okay, July. Got it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, because we got those packs spoiled, I am using the cards. Now, you can swap him out for a Luke Cage. If you don't, if Doctor Strange isn't out at time, but if you're playing on tabletop, you do have access to him, the Iron Fist right now. But if you're playing in person, go ahead and swap him out for a Luke Cage. I am running 3 of the Indomitables, mainly being able to her being able to defend an attack that's targeted at her, which you do want to do. She is a greedy protection player. She generally does not defend for other players. She defends attacks that are directed at her. Where somebody like Spider-Man, you're blocking for your allies, and then you're taking the full hit when it comes around to you. You don't want to play her that. She doesn't have the hit points. She doesn't have the defense for that. You can, and you definitely can with a couple of her cards, like the Synth Suit, which allows her to untap after a preparation card is triggered. Since it also gives her +1 defense. So that's kind of where I was going with. So she's got a card in her kit that gives her +1 defense. Armored Vest also gives +1 defense, so you can get her up to 4 defense. With the Indomitables, allowing you to ready, allows you to defend, and then have her available for attack thwarting on your turn. Or if you have to, you can defend for an ally and untap and then defend for yourself. I am checking out. So again, some of these cards are going to be from both Black Widow and Doctor Strange. I unfortunately on tabletop, we just got them all. So I don't know which ones come from which pack. Momentum Shift, I'm trying out. It's a 2-cost event, hero action attack, heal 2 damage from your hero as a cost, then deal 2 damage to an enemy. I like this in this style of defense, mainly because her hit points are pretty low. She will take some damage. This allows you to get some damage off of her and put some damage on the enemy. As before mentioned, the Armor Vest, having +1 defense is great. Brings her up to 3. If you get her suit out, brings her up to 4. That's an incredible amount of defense. Defensive Stance. So this one came in her pack. It costs 2 for an upgrade, max 1 per player. It is a preparation card, so it works with her triggers. Hero Interrupt. When you would take any amount of damage, discard Defensive Stance and prevent 3 of that damage. So I noticed this a lot against like Rhino, and he'd have the charge. I would go ahead and defend that charge attack. I'd have either three or four defense. There's a good portion of it, and then defensive stance would get rid of that extra bleed over damage. I only have two of them in the deck. I'm still deciding. You know, I think two's fine because they are preparation. They're going to sit on the board, and you can only have one in play at a time. The next card that I've added in here, and again, this may be a Black Widow card or Doctor Strange card. It is a Desperate Defense. And I put three of them in here, mainly to test. It is a one-cost event, Hero Interrupt Defense. When your hero defends against an attack, it gets plus two defense for that attack. If you take no damage from that attack, ready your hero. So in combination with defensive stance, it's another way to untap your hero after defending. And that's kind of the goal of the deck, is to defend, but then have her untapped on your turn to be able to attack or thwart.
Always ready, Widow. Cool.
Yeah, always ready, Widow. I'm running the Night Nurse. She is a unique persona for protection. She costs one. She comes into play with three medical counters. Action. Exhaust the Night Nurse and remove one medical counter from her. Heal one damage from a hero and discard one status card on it. This really helps to get rid of those stuns and confuses. I feel getting stunned is a very bad thing in this deck, but getting confused seems to be even worse because you do not have a lot of thwarty cards. So when you need to thwart, you need to thwart. Now, the other card that I'm running one of, just to try it out and see how it works, and I've had a lot of success when I have drawn it, so I am actually very hip on this card. It is called Unflappable. It costs one for an upgrade. Condition: play under any player's control, max one per player. Response: after you defend an attack and take no damage, exhaust Unflappable to draw one card. So this is a nice little draw engine, especially when you have that four defense. It's hard for damage to get through. Unless you're playing a big beastie like Rhino, you're generally not going to take any damage. So this gives you an extra card draw. And I've found that card draw is very, very important for you.
Yeah, I like the synergy so far. You said you're only running one of those, though, right?
I am only running one. I would like to run two. I just have not found a card that I want to take out. And I think the card that's going to end up getting taken out would probably be one of the Desperate Defenses. Because I still like the Indomitables better than the Desperate Defenses. Because you don't have... Desperate Defense you have to hold in your hand. Indomitable you could just place on the ground. And then draw up to your hand size. So if I had to choose, I would probably drop one Desperate Defense to add another... Unflappable, but that still needs some playtesting. And that is it for the protection cards. For the basic cards, I decided to go with two Endurances. Again, she has 9 hit points, so hit points are kind of a weak point for her. Endurance is obviously one cost upgrade that gives you plus 3 hit points. It's a very useful when you have very low hit points. I'm running two of those and one downtime. Downtime is another upgrade that costs one, and it gives your alter ego plus two recovery, which brings her up to 5 recovery, which is half of her hit points. I think that's a good amount. I'm not running two of them. I found that whenever I ran two of them, I ended up just using them for resources. And then I'm running the stable suite of energy, strength, genius. Where I did change it up, normally I run two Avengers Mansions and one Helicarrier. I'm now trying one Avengers Mansion, one Helicarrier, and one Quinn Carrier. the Quinn Carrier is a new card that's coming out. It costs 3 Avenger vehicle. Play only if your identity has the Avenger trait, and then you may exhaust it to generate a wild resource. A unique thing about this card is it is unique. So if you play one, your partners cannot play theirs. It is not like Avengers Mansion where it's max 1 per player. It is straight up unique.
I find it funny there's only one Quinn Carrier, but there's infinite Avengers Mansions.
Yeah. And then I'm running the Mockingbird and the Nick Fury. The Nick Fury for card draw, threat removal, damage if I need it. Mockingbird's nice to be able to get a stun off, so that way you don't have to worry about defending that turn, and maybe can defend for an ally if you need to. And that is the deck.
Coolio. So for people listening at home, there's a lot of Doctor Strange cards in there. So I'll go over them just so you know which ones were Doctor Strange. So Iron Fist, Night Nurse, Momentum Shift, Desperate Defense, Unflappable. And did you mention another? You only had one protection ally, right? It was just Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was all of the Doctor Strange cards. So just 5 or 6 of them in there. Not too bad.
Yeah, it's going to be nice getting Doctor Strange. He's a protection hero. He's going to come out with a lot of protection cards. And, you know, again, hopefully we get him soon. But I know the rest of the world will probably get him a month early.
So how's the deck gone for you?
It has gone really smoothly. Her ability to interrupt encounter cards is quite nice with the grappling hooks. And I do find that that suit is really one of the things that really... You want to get that suit in your opening hand. You want to discard for that suit. That +1 defense and then being able to untap her after a preparation card hits is just really, really good. For her thwarty card, I find that 4 removal is just the right amount. And she's got a couple attack cards.
Well, let's have our protection experts weigh in. Do you see any glaring problems, Americana?
Just that the fact that I can't play this deck yet.
You can if you jump on Tabletop Simulator.
I guess that's a good point. I like the build that you can. You're all about defending, but then readying, so you're ready for the attack to be on the attack on the next player phase. So that's a really cool thing I think in that build.
So I had an idea for you to consider. All these Doctor Strange cards, like Desperate Defenses, you get +2 defense if you take no damage ready. Unflappable is the same thing. If you take no damage, you draw a card. So Preemptive Strike could actually be really good in your deck instead of something like Expert Defense, maybe, because it does something similar, right? When a boost card is turned face up, you cancel all the plus icons on it and deal damage instead. So if you're all about doing this on your defense anyway, it won't matter with the new defense ruling. And it might be a way to like lower the villain's attack while still doing damage and then trigger all your special stuff like Unflappable.
And yeah, as far as theme is concerned, that's pretty good because the Black Widow would, you know, she always strikes first.
Yeah, they were in the deck in the first iteration. The problem I ran into is Black Widow is kind of resource starved a lot of times.
Yeah.
And the 3 cost. Yeah, that 3 cost just was, it was painful because she does have a resource generating card, the gauntlets, and she gets 2 of them, but they only work on preparation cards.
Oh, preemptive is only 1 cost.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a 1 cost event. It's pretty cool.
It's 1 cost event. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it fits perfectly.
And then you know exactly how much damage you're going to be taking. If you have that in your hand, you know it's just going to be whatever the villain or the minion is, or no, just the villain is swinging for.
Oh, yeah. So if you know you can block all the damage, then you play it. I mean, you get to see the boost card before you decide to play it anyway. Interesting. She seems really fun with protection. It's from the Miss Marvel pack. Yeah, it's a one cost event with an energy resource. So it's the same resource type as like Indomitable or Desperate Defense. And it's just a way to lower the villain's attack or something.
Yep. No, that's actually pretty good. I was thinking Tackle. That was 3D.
Yeah. It feels like a momentum shift to me, right? Because momentum shift is heal 2 and then deal 2.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the same thing. It's prevent 1 to 2 and then deal 1 to 2. That sounds roughly same.
I definitely think if you don't have the Doctor Strange cards or you're not playing on tabletop, I would probably definitely put in the 3 preemptive strikes, take out the momentum shifts, and the Night Nurse. I mean, there's no substitute for the Night Nurse is amazing.
Med team, right? No, yeah. No status removal. That's not as good, but
yeah. I don't have Expert Defense in here. I didn't think that was worth it. 0 cost for +2. The Desperate Defenses, which are Doctor Strange, are just really good. But again, if you have Indomitables, you are just doubling up on that effect.
Yeah, have you had a lot of turns where you had 3 or 4 cards in your hand that could ready you, but you only get 1 attack, so you're not getting to use them all?
No, because I'm very frugal with my cards.
Gotcha. Like,
one person in my play group is, he will hold an entire 4 or 5 cards. If he doesn't use any of them, he'll hold them. I'll discard cards like crazy. My goal is always to have an empty hand at the end of the turn.
Understood.
And I think Kennedy plays the same way as I do, has that same concept.
Yeah, I definitely do. Even to my fault.
Yeah, and it definitely does come down to, sometimes it messes. Like, I will discard the Desperate Defense instead of holding it if I need to. Like, it is not a big deal for me.
So what villains have you gone up against? Any that were harder or easier than others with this Black Widow deck? Give our listeners some guidance.
Rhino was pretty easy for me. That 4 defense is pretty good. A lot of times you're taking none to maybe 1 or 2 damage, and the Desperate Defense would cheer up that extra little bit of damage, or the preparation card that for protection. And then being able to use the grappling hook to cancel like a Shadows was huge. I did play against Ultron, and that was a much harder fight because of, unfortunately, like, that many amount of minions is kind of her weakness. She's much better against a straightforward fighter because she doesn't have any true AoEs. She does have her Dance of Death, which got me out of a lot of tight spots because it can target 3 different people.
Yeah.
But it was nice to be able to block against Ultron, untap, block against a drone, and untap if I needed to, after it triggered a preparation.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't bring either of the basic preparations either. Have you tried with those and without those?
I did. I ran into some issues. Most preparation cards require you to be in hero, and it felt like with the basic one, I wanted it to work when I wasn't in hero, and every time it went off, it didn't. She has a card that's very similar, the Acrobatics, and it felt like I was just doubling up that, and I'd rather just run the 2 Acrobatics and not worry about the basic one, because it's limit 1 per person.
Okay, I thought the basic one canceled like the little star abilities, but Acrobatics cancels the boost icons like Preemptive Strike.
Right.
I might have it back. Oh, so they are different, but
no, that is right. Yeah.
Okay,
but it just felt like I always felt like I wanted the Acrobatics, and I rarely cared about the little star, so it just sat out there so long and did kind of nothing.
I think it kind of depends too on the villain and the modular encounter set that if you're going to run we're talking about the target acquired basic preparation.
If you're running against Wrecking Crew, I highly suggest running target acquired. But against your core villains, they don't have as many star boost as some of the newer ones.
Gotcha.
I might run that. I might consider running that if you're running the Masters of Evil with Claw.
Yeah, he's got that annoying one that exhausts all your characters. But I guess if you only have a couple allies, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, and I did not get a chance to play against Claw.
What do you think, Lester? I know you haven't gotten to play with the Black Widow yet, other than waiting for it to be June, July. You got any comments over there?
No, I actually agree a lot with Americano. I think the idea of being able to be ready at all times, it like thematically it makes sense, but that's also just like a really neat synergy with the cards. But I definitely agree with that one protection card. The preemptive strike, I think, fits really nicely in the pocket. If you could find room for it, you know, maybe less than a couple, like if you've got multiples of that desperate defense or something, I would drop one or two just to get one or two of those preemptive strikes in, because it does, like the energy resource works with your tenacity, which just kind of, it just seems to fit perfectly in the synergy that you're trying to go for. I'm really interested to play her for sure.
And I forgot about Attackrobatics. That's basically the same thing as preemptive strike, but you put it in play and trigger it whenever you want. So as long as you can get that card out there pretty reliably, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, and she does feel like she's constantly with her Safe House 29. That card is the whole reason why you flip over to Natasha a lot. And you will do that. You will flip over a lot. You'll have, you know, a big turn, a setup turn, flip back over, because it lets you cycle your preparation cards back into your hand. And being able to get those grappling hooks back are just, it's very important.
Cool. Do you have any mulligan strategy that you can give you listeners advice on? Is there a certain card? You said the synth suit you're always looking for. What else are you throwing away and what are you keeping?
Yeah, the synth suit is definitely a card that I try to keep. The unflappable is a card that I really want to keep. And the endurance is a card that I really want to keep. Most other cards you can ditch. Obviously, you keep your resource generators, you know, your three resource cards and your three location cards. Most everything else you can afford to ditch, especially if it's something like, you know, an acrobatics or a widow's bite or even a grappling hook, because if you get the safe house, you can get them back, and you are gonna burn through your deck.
Yeah. Have you found that there's not a ton of damage, right? You have Dance of Death and you have a couple preparations that do damage. Are you doing most of your damage from basic attacks, and that's why you always want to be ready?
Yeah, that's where a lot of my damage is coming from, is basic attack and Winter Soldier and Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah, Iron Fist too. Oh, and Winter Soldier. Oh, well, we're getting into cards now. Maybe we should talk about cards. Do you have any, last question, do you have any gameplay videos of this on your YouTube channel, or will you eventually?
I do not. I will. I'm at the point where I don't really want to post solo games anymore. I want more, you know, two-player games on my channel. It's just getting people in the right mind to record and set that time aside.
Well, maybe we'll do one later this week or after this. Cool. So people can watch the Mediocre Gamers YouTube channel to see this deck in action eventually.
Yeah, and I will definitely probably put a solo run just against Rhino to showcase the deck itself.
Cool.
Just pointing out that definitely probably is one of the greatest phrases.
Yeah, it's one of those phrases you just have to get used to. So let's talk about Black Widow's pack. If you guys go to halloheroes.com, halloheroeslcg.com, sorry. No affiliation with our podcast, but great resource for the game. They have pictures of all of the cards from Black Widow's pack up there. So can everybody tell me what their favorite two cards are from Black Widow's pack? So we'll start with Crimson.
You know what? Synth easily. It is a 3-cost upgrade. It is unique. Armor tech. So if you are playing with Tony, you can get it back for you. Hero response. After you trigger the ability of a preparation card you control, exhaust synth suit and ready Black Widow.
Always ready. Got it.
Yep, always ready. And plus one defense is huge. The other card that is by far my favorite card in her pack is Grappling Hook. Grappling Hook is a 2-cost upgrade. Preparation tech, again, she's got a lot of tech cards. She pairs very well with Iron Man.
Theme.
Yeah. Hero Interrupt. When you reveal a treachery card, discard Grappling Hook and cancel the effects of that treachery and discard it. The standout for me is that it doesn't make you draw another treachery card. It just straight up cancels all effects of that treachery card and discards it. Also, unlike a lot of the other ones where it says cancel the when revealed effects, this cancels the whole card itself. And that can make a big difference. Now, the downside is it is treachery card, so it won't cancel side schemes, attachments, minions, just the treachery cards.
Gotcha. Let's go with Lester next. What cards are you excited about? And they don't have to be Black Widow cards. They can be Aspect cards and stuff too.
I really like the Dance of Death. The 1 damage, 2 damage, 3 damage. It's pretty neat. You can spread 6 damage out amongst 3 different targets. Now, I'm assuming you could do that all to the same enemy.
I think so. It doesn't say you can't, so I'm assuming so.
Exactly. Yes, so being able to deal 6 damage to one enemy or spread it out as you need, you know, you have a minion in there that's only got 1 hit point left, and then you can stack the other 5 on the villain. It's just, it feels versatile, and, you know, 6 for 3 with that versatility on top of it, I think is awesome. Plus, it works with that synergy that Crimson was building into his deck there with the energy icon.
Go ahead. There's also another very important thing to realize with Dance of Death because of the way it's worded. It says make the following 3 attacks in order. So you have to do each one of them in the order on the card. So deal 1 damage to an enemy. Deal 2 damage to an enemy. What that does is it allows you to get through tough because the first attack will happen, deals 1 damage, removes the tough, then you'll do 2, then you'll deal 3. But they do come in separate orders.
Yeah, I never thought about that. So that's just another, you know, positive.
Does it get her on stun too? Like stun only cancels the deal 1 damage and then you still get 5 through? Because that's pretty cool.
Actually, it doesn't. Stun doesn't stop it. It's not an attack.
So I've seen lots of questions about this. Read the sentence. It says, make the following 3 attacks. So it sounds to me like these are 3 attacks.
That would be an interesting ruling. But yeah, so, I'm used to seeing the parentheses or the brackets that says attack.
Yeah, and we've seen...
It doesn't do that.
Yeah, and Lightning Strike for Thor, right? It uses the phrase, this attack ignores tough, but they errated it to say, no, it's not an attack, it's just an ability. So I've been playing it as you cancel the first attack with stun, and then not the second two, but I don't know what the right answer is.
I don't know either. That one, we would need more clarification. I would probably, if it was me, I'd probably play it that same way. Because the card isn't an attack itself. I mean, it does say attack, but it's not an attack action, which means the stun wouldn't stop that part of the card. It would stop the first of the attacks. So yeah, I would agree.
Someone should call Jennifer Walters. She should get on that for us.
Oh yeah. We'll ask the rules lawyer, Discord. They'll tell us.
The other card I really think is interesting. I mean, I am an aggression nerd, so the counterattack seems pretty sweet as a preparation tactic. It only costs 1. It sits in play, and then you get to respond to taking damage from an enemy, and you discard this card, counterattack, and deal an equal amount of damage to that enemy. So you could be sitting in a position where you get attacked from Rhino for like a massive damage. You could defend that, and then you could discard this card and deal equal amount of damage back to him. That's how I'm reading it.
So you have to take the damage first from an enemy before you can discard that card. So
yeah, so he attacks you, you defend it, and lessen. Oh, I guess you're right. So you'd lessen the damage to yourself, but you could hit him back. So say you had 9 hit points left. He hits you for 10 damage. You defend for 3. You take 7 damage, and you deal 7 damage back to him. That's kind of how I'm reading how that works.
Yeah, now, I think that's right.
What aspect card is that?
It's an aggression card.
Yeah, that seems really good. I like that card a lot. I think if you were, and you shouldn't, but if you were to play She-Hulk Aggression, I think that card would be a very tight fit into her ensemble, just because of the fact that she does want to take damage and she can dish damage back.
I think it might even be her on the picture here. I mean, or maybe it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's Guardians dudes. Drax and Gamora going crazy.
Anyway, that seems like a really neat one. I mean, it's kind of a danger mitigation. You kind of have to weigh your options of when you'd want that, but it only costs 1. It stays in play, and then it's just kind of like it's a backup plan, I guess. If you take a whopping amount of damage, you can, you know, hit him back. So
yeah, I like interesting. It.
All right, Americano, you're next.
All right, so the first one that I'm actually really excited about is Quake. She's a Justice ally, 2 cost. She only thwarts for 1, but she has 2 attack, 2 health, and then her response is after a minion schemes, exhaust her to deal 2 damage to that minion. I'm a big fan of minions, or of allies that can deal damage without taking consequential damage, and I think that Quake just adds another... a much needed, in my opinion, damage dealing card and ally to that aspect.
I think she'd go good with Miss Marvel because you're switching back and forth so often, and you could plan it out where you've got to be in alter ego form, making the minion scheme. She could help you wipe a bunch of minions off the board, actually.
Yeah, I feel Quake is probably one of the best Justice cards that we've seen in a while come out. She is phenomenal.
Yeah, she fills a void, right? Justice needed ways to deal with minions and to deal damage, and she fills both. And she's 2 cost. I love 2 cost allies.
All right, the other one, this probably isn't a surprise, but Defensive Stance, I think, is a pretty cool card. My favorite deck to play is Iron Man Protection. And so anytime I can throw more energy resources, Defensive Stance has an energy resource. And I mean, it's just an automatic. I'm going to add that to my Iron Man Protection deck.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ton of defense anyway, so that'll probably help quite a bit.
And plus with Arc Reactor, you can. It's almost like, you know, I'll defend, and even if I can't ready, I can ready on my turn with Arc Reactor.
Yeah, sweet. Also, with no surprise, all our favorite aspect people picked their aspect cards. I'm excited to play as Black Widow, but my wife has called dibs on her, so I'm not going to get to play with her for a while when the pack shows up later this week. So I'll be playing someone, either Justice or someone leadership probably, and Rapid Response is pretty sweet. 2 cost leadership preparation tactic. Max 1 per player. After an ally you control is defeated, discard Rapid Response, put that ally into play from discard, and deal 1 damage to it. So this will be really cool with allies like Maria Hill. You can like have it set up to let people draw cards twice in one turn. Or with Nick Fury, you can defend with him, bring him back, defend with another player, and draw 3 cards in the middle of the villain phase. That seems like a win-win to me. And what I'm most excited about from Black Widow's pack in general is just all of the preparations that are not in her set. All of those, everybody's been talking about Coulson. I wanted to say, yeah, Agent Coulson's really awesome. He can fish up any preparation. Well, Shuri's like the same thing as Agent Coulson, but she can fish up any upgrade. So I'm really excited to use Shuri to pull out Rapid Response, or use Shuri to pull out Countered Attack and Black Panther Aggression, because you'll have Yarnbjorn in there and you can go crazy. All of that sounds great to me. So I was going Counterattack and Rapid Response. So Lester and I had one card in common.
On a side note of that, Nick Fury, if you do bring him back, he will still die at the end of the round. So that's why you would want to defend two attacks with him.
You'd want to defend two. You might bring him back just to deal four damage again, right? That might kill a minion that's going to attack you or something. But in general, I'd rather draw the three cards and soak another attack up.
I think it's a very valid combo.
Yeah, you can only use it when an ally is defeated. So anything that discards an ally, like if you played Spider-Woman and you wanted to do this with Hulk, because Hulk pulls those mental resources and he discards himself, it won't work when someone discards themselves. So you can't use it at the end of the round to bring Nick Fury back. It has to be when he is defeated due to damage or something. So there's a little weirdness there. But, I mean, it'll even be cool if you... it'll be really cool with Spider-Man, I think, once we get to Rise of the Red Skull, and you can have multiple aspects, but it'll be cool within just leadership itself. In the game I was playing, the deck I have, I run Heimdall, which is a basic card from Thor's set. He's a 5-cost ally, and he has 4 health. So when you bring him back with this, he has 3 health, and he lets you look at the top of the encounter deck, so you can get rid of one bad card from the top of the encounter deck twice, which sounds great for 2 costs. So.
And set up that encounter deck.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing with Heimdall is he does 2 consequential damage. So when he comes back at 3, it's very similar as if he was coming back at 4. Because, you know, you'll get an attack, take 2, he's got 1 health left, you can still do the second attack.
That's a really, really good point. Unless you're going to block with him, but I wouldn't with his 3 attack.
Yeah, I've used it a lot with Mockingbird as well, just because it's like stun a second time, right? You block with her, and you stun the villain, so it almost turns Mockingbird into a webbed up, and now she can thwart 2 more times, which is pretty cool. So are there any cards that you guys think are trap cards that you don't really like from Black Widow's hero pack?
I'll let you guys go first.
Anybody?
Brave? I think there are a couple cards that are really depend on who you're playing with. If you're playing with other heroes, and if you're and which villains you're facing, and the 2 cards I'm specifically thinking of are Quinn Carrier. I probably wouldn't want to run each player if you're playing with somebody else. Each person have a Quinn Carrier. Because you're just going to resent your teammate if they get it out first. And target acquired, I want to like that card, but I just think it's too dependent on the scenario, the villain, and the encounter deck that you're facing.
Yeah, I tried running that in the Captain America deck that just tries to get 5 allies out and use strength in numbers to draw 5 cards, and I only use it against Claw, because when Claw draws that card that exhausts all your allies, you've just lost like 10 cards of draw in your combo, which is horrible, but this one card can stop it. But at the same time, that's like one villain for one specific boost card. Seems really inefficient.
Yeah, I think that one is too niche, so it's sort of a trap card. It's very, like Americano says, very dependent on the scenario you're facing. I also feel that espionage is very similar. Seems like quite a powerful ability, but you have to be a spy in order to even use it. So, I mean, it seems to only work with her.
Yeah, mine was espionage and spycraft for the same reason. There aren't a ton of spy characters out there. I think it's what, Coulson?
I mean, technically you could play Nick Fury and then play this, but Nick Fury costs so many resources, it'd be difficult to do that.
Yeah, and you have to get him in the same turn. It seems really, really tough.
That's what I'm saying. You'd have to be able to play him and then play this. So I'm assuming that Nick Fury's a spy, actually. I might just be putting my foot in my mouth.
I think that espionage will be good in Spider-Woman's deck, though, because isn't she a spy on both sides of her identity?
She is, yeah.
I was going to mention that, but I was going to wait. Also, Mockingbird is a spy.
Oh, Mockingbird is one. Okay, that makes me feel better. There's more.
Yeah, that definitely makes it better now that Mockingbird is one. for me. But still, that's it's still really limited. You have to limit, like, you have to put certain things into your deck in order to be able to even run that card. So it's niche-y as well. It's not a catch-all, sort of.
Agent Coulson is also a spy.
I just feel like basic cards should be more catch-all. They should have more of a broad... they should be able to do things broadly, but maybe to less potent effect. And this seems to do the opposite of what I think intuitively a basic card should do, which is do a very specific thing, but and to like great effect. So I think it's, I wouldn't say it's a trap card, but that one is one that I'm not as excited about. Mind you, with the Mockingbird, the little Mockingbird nod, I think, I mean, it is a really powerful ability.
Yeah, I think it can be good. The problem I have with it is it costs one, and so you're playing, you're spending a resource and playing the card. So you're already using two cards to get it into play, and it gives you a bigger hand in the future. But if you could have just used those two cards differently to do something immediately, I feel like usually that's a better choice for me.
There you go. Kennedy Hawk hit it right on the point. So one of my cards is also Espionage. I think it's a trap card because of the fact that it does not technically net you any card advantage. It cycles, but no card advantage. If this would have been draw three cards, or if it would have cost zero, which it probably would have been too powerful at that point. But I think with the stipulation and then the fact that it's a do nothing enchant or preparation card that sits on the table and maybe triggers off, and then when it does, you get to replace the cards that you've already sunk into it, pretty much. It's not a good card, in my opinion.
But I just feel like in this game, the way that you always refill your hand and everything, this could create a situation where you set up with a larger hand size than you normally would. So it could set up for a bigger turn where you have now seven cards instead of five cards in your hand, which allows you to fuel cards you wouldn't have been able to play otherwise.
I do agree with that. But when I consider trap cards, I consider cards that you don't end up that when you finish the game, they're still sitting on the table.
Or there's definitely a likelihood that that could happen. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think that this is not a card that I'm super hyped to play. But I think that if you are drawing a parallel between Magic and the card advantage in that game versus this, I think that there is that little pocket where, because you're using the cards as your resources, this could potentially set up a really big turn for you, where you have that extra couple cards you need to pull off something that you couldn't have done before. But that's very niche, so I think it's a trap card too.
Right, and it could work well in Spider-Woman because you'll get more cards into your hand, so you can play more of those different aspect cards. I think about it similarly to what Crimson said, right? When I think about which card do I not want to play, if it's an upgrade, I say if Caught Off Guard comes up and there's any other upgrade on the board, am I discarding this card or the other upgrade? And I would probably discard this card before I discard Honorary Avenger, which is zero cost plus one HP. So I'm probably not running it very much.
But that's also another positive to it, right? Because it does act as kind of an armor or a tough status to that card. Yeah. So it gives it a tiny little check mark. I'm trying to find some sort of positive in it, which is I'm struggling with.
It's got a physical resource. That's cool. All right, what's up?
My second card, and it's weird. It's not a bad card. It is by far not a bad card. Stealth Strike. I am not impressed with this card. With the games that I played with it, and I play a lot of Justice games, I just did not, it did not impress me. It costs too much. So it costs three for an event hero action attack. Deal four damage to an enemy. If that enemy is defeated by this attack, remove two threat from a scheme. On paper, this card looks great. That three cost is detrimental.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It does seem a little bit costed. I mean, I like the fact that you can remove those Hydra guards that have the guard ability and the four hit points. But three cost is a ton because it's a card in your hand, so it can't count towards paying for itself. So that's like basically your turn there. But hey, there's another mark for Espionage, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, it's not a bad card. It just never worked the way I needed it to when I needed it to.
See, I've had really good luck with it. Like, I'll play it first turn against Claw, and it'll let me work on a scheme and kill the minion that comes up. And in my mind, I compare it to, like, Uppercut from Aggression, right? That's the bread and butter, 3 cost, deal 5 damage. And that's in, like, the aggro aspect, right? So here it's 3 cost, and you're dealing 4. So usually damage is, like, the thing that Justice struggles with. So you're, like, shoring up your weakness, and you still have the opportunity to remove 2 threat, right? So it's like half of a 4 justice and almost a full uppercut for the cost of just uppercut. That's
they'll have to errat uppercut to be like 7 damage.
Maybe 12, right?
Yeah, at least 12.
Yeah, and again,
at least remove 1 threat.
Cool. Well, those are like our highlights from the Black Widow pack. We wanted to talk a little bit of Black Widow lore. So we talked about Black Widow lore a couple issues ago. So this time I'm going to do some recommended reading for people to learn about Black Widow with her relationship with a card we didn't discuss at all, which is Winter Soldier. Everybody likes to talk about the art, so we won't talk about that too much. But he's a 4-cost ally, her signature ally, 4 health, 2 thwart, 2 attack. He'd be great if he had a blank text box almost. But his text box is reduce the cost of Winter Soldier by 1 for each preparation card you control. So he's how cheap have you seen Winter Soldier come out, Crimson?
Almost every time I played him, he's cost 0.
Yeah.
Me too. And it's been awesome.
0. 0 cost. That's amazing. That was my experience too.
I love 0-cost allies. They're great. Another great target for rapid response too.
0-cost 2/2s are great.
Yeah, right, with 4 health. So Winter Soldier and Black Widow have had a long history. So there's been lots of different backstories to Black Widow's past, which we talked about in previous episodes. But in one of the most recent retellings of her origins, Winter Soldier trained her when she was in the Red Room, and he was in another equivalent of the Red Room in Russia. So that was pretty cool. They had a relationship that dated back all the way till back then. The last 3 Black Widow runs, the one from 2012, 2014, and 2016, all have a strong Winter Soldier arc. So the one from 2012, in this series, Black Widow, it's called Black Widow Volume 2, I think, 2012. She's dating Winter Soldier at the time. And she has to go on this like 6-7 issue campaign recovering something. And he's kind of like tracking her and following her along the way and providing her help. The 2016 series is the Wade one that I talked about last time. The second arc of that series, Winter Soldier shows up in, and they go to the moon to meet Nick Fury, which is pretty cool. So I'll recommend that for sure. It's issue 8 and 9 of Black Widow from 2016.
Yeah, it just starts up.
Oh, you just read that one?
Oh, it's so that whole Wade run is really, really good. The art's excellent. The story's really good.
The art is so like noir style. It's just like it looks like something that belongs in an old newspaper printing. It feels really cool.
Totally.
Yeah, so if you can read that 2016 Wade series, we'll talk about it on our Discord. So if you want, the Discord is in the show notes. Join the Discord, talk to us about comics, about deck lists, about whatever you want. There's pretty good community growing there, so we'll definitely be talking about the issues that we recommend here. But the last 3 runs of Black Widow have been really good, and they've all involved Winter Soldier. So I've seen some people ask, like, why is Winter Soldier her signature ally? They didn't even really do much together in the movies, right? They were both in the Winter Soldier movie, but that was it. But she has a long history with him in the comic books, so you can find lots of information about it. But
they did a lot in the comic books.
Yeah,
NSFW.
Yeah, a lot of NSFW stuff too. Gotcha.
Also, I really like the fact that this game focuses more on the comic lore than it does on the MCU lore.
Yeah, me too, for sure. I've read so many books because of this game that I think if this game hadn't come out, I would still be reading like very casually 1 or 2 books a month, and now I'm just pouring through the Marvel Unlimited app whenever I can.
Yeah, and it gives it a broader scope of options that they can do, and the way that they built the game, I think, it has such a broad range of ability for them to expand on what you can do. They've already shown it with all the different releases that they've teased and everything they've done. They've added something new to the game. It's pretty, I think it's fitting that they're doing the comic book nods more.
Yeah, but you could definitely see they could have gone the MCU way, you know, collect that money for the MCU money, but I love the fact that they're focusing on the comics and not the MCU.
But I think they're going to get the MCU money anyway. Like, I think the game itself,
I think
it stands up, and people who are even just barely interested in Marvel because it's so popular through the MCU, and the game is so, it's easy to pick up and learn. I think it's sweet. It's a given.
Well, that was all we had for today. That's our 1 hour time limit. So let us know, give us some feedback on Facebook or Discord. Let us know what you think about these shorter issues instead of longer issues, but more frequently. We'll be checking back in with you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good night, guys.
Ta-ta.